I put papers on the top of that? Is that going to make a
difference? No.
Okay.
You have to re-record this.
I'll come back. No problem. Next weekend. Yeah, thanks for making us stand there. I didn't stand for the last one, just because I'm going to be standing for the rest of the time and you're not. That's what you mentioned this morning. See, he's been there before. So that's what this is about. Just a review of what we did this morning. I mean, most of you are here, but just a lot of you have forgotten already. So just review, and then we're going to look at music in the local church specifically, centered around four verses. And maybe a little interaction, just a little warning, a little interaction today, I know. So we looked at Psalm 100, and we looked at, first of all, music in its display, when it occurs, and the order, like the first order of when it was mentioned, and the last order. And then we looked at music and its definition, when it's literally mentioned, you know, singing, playing instruments, and all that kind of thing. And figuratively, too, when it was used as a mockery or a synonym for pleasure. And also music in its detail, as noun, as a verb, and when it's implied as well. In the New Testament, when it says singing or making melody and singing psalms. That was music. And then musicianship, just a little bit about the participants, as musicians, and as singers, and as players, and the instruments. So musicianship and their instruments. The wind instruments used, and stringed instruments, percussion. And then, in general, there was that one verse in James 5:13, where it says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms, which is literally strum on a stringed instrument, with the voice, or maybe not. So that was just a little bit, and we looked at a few references of Moses' song in Exodus 15 and Revelation 15 as well. And that was just an overall thing, and I asked you a little bit about times in Scripture when music affected people. We talked about David and Saul and Gideon and Paul and Silas and the judgment trumpets and Moses and Miriam. Okay, so those are a few. All right, so before we do anything else, could you please turn and talk with someone and share with them how music ministers to you. How does it serve you? Maybe just in a general way. How do you use music, or what does music do to you? How does it help you in some ways? It won't be long, just a couple minutes. If you don't like the person next to you, you can get up and go to someone else, but just turn and talk about how music affects you or ministers to you. A couple minutes. How does music affect you? What do you use music for? What music does it affect? What music?
I have.
Give nobody.
I don't just listen to it because I'm sad.
I get what you do there. You're letting them talk for a while.
Yeah. Great. All right, this is where I awkwardly talk and hope that people eventually listen to me. I could, if I was in an elementary school setting, I would go the clap, 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 and then you would clap, 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 clap back, but I won't do that. But I know some of you are just getting into it. Some of you were done a long time ago. Some of you have moved on to talking about trucks or things. I don't know. But anyway, hopefully that's a little bit of a time. And we'll have some other times, too, to share so you can take up from where you left off. Does anyone want to share anything about how music ministers to you in a general way or even a specific one?
It brings the assembly together and have one voice to worship.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah.
It lets you relax and forget about certain stresses in life.
Good. Very good. Brings you together, helps you relax.
It changes your mood. Like if you're on the way to work or something and you listen to Christian music, you're going to be in a better mood than if you listen to rap.
Very good.
There's Christian rap.
Yeah. I know what Jamie calls Christian rap, but I won't.
Talking about classical music.
Do you remember this?
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, classical. Classical music is.
Makes my heart
want to
burst sometimes when I hear a piece that's building.
And the message doesn't have to be...
Not Johnny Cash.
You have a Johnny Cash fan over there. He seems to come out whenever it comes. But yeah, classical music, it doesn't have words, but it's still a message.
They don't understand it, so they like it.
Yeah. I remember one evening being on my way to work, and I don't know, I just wasn't feeling great, and I had a Down Here Christmas CD on, and they have this beautiful, beautiful version of Silent Night that's just as peaceful, and I'm just calmed my whole spirit just to listen to that.
It does that, doesn't it?
Work, it's fine.
It's amazing. Yeah. Anything else? Thanks for that.
I was just saying, at camp involvement, when, especially boys camp, when you start and they're not singers necessarily, mm-hmm. and you get to the point where they're asking for their favorites by the end of the week and they're singing those things and they love singing, it has changed their heart and attitude. And leading well led into the message is a good part to them.
Great. Very good. Yeah, there's a purpose why we have it before. it can set the tone, it can calm our spirits, it can focus us. And Weston, did you want to share what Weston shared? Or do you want to?
Like me tell that story?
Sure, if you want.
Okay. Well, Weston said that music helps us tell people about the Lord Jesus. And then I remember this story about one time when we were visiting some friends, and we got to their house, and they weren't there. So we just went for a walk in a park while we waited for them to get home. And they had this random piano in a park. And it was, the idea was you were just supposed to go and, like, play just for fun. So I played the piano for a little bit. And then our family went and sang. And some people had kind of started to gather, and so we're like, okay, well, we'll sing. And so we sang a couple of songs, and they were both gospel songs. And there was a couple that sat there the whole time and listened, and the fellow had, like, tears in his eyes. At first I didn't know if he was, like, really listening or not, but then I looked closer and he had tears in his eyes, and afterwards we went up and talked with them. And it turns out that, in fact, they were from Sudbury. And I said, oh, we were just singing up in Sudbury. And he said, where? Were you singing at some such and such concert hall or whatever? I said, no. We were singing at Sudbury Bible Fellowship. And he knew that place. And I think he knew you, and I didn't catch his name, and I'm really sorry about that. But if some random people ever show up at the chapel, and we heard this family sing, that was us, and we told them to come to that. But, so we talked about that after, and it was such a neat experience because it let our kids share their faith in a way that they felt comfortable.
Thanks. And this was not planned, and this was not meant as any kind of commercial or whatever. That,
yeah,
thank you for sharing that, Weston and Lynn as well. Mm-hmm. That's great. Thanks for what you're saying about on the way to work, too. And music can do that. It can change our mood and our manner and so on. Okay, I want to look at four verses with you. So if you have your Bible, please turn to these four verses, and as far, I think I said five before, it's actually four, that as far as I know, these are the only ones that are connected with the local church and music in the New Testament. Like, there are other references in the New Testament, but to do with the church. So 1 Corinthians 14, please. 1 Corinthians 14 is the first one. And this will lay a foundation, and then just some specifics based on these four verses. And we want to read them in context. So to back up from the verse I want to look at, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12, please. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. Paul is talking, okay? Paul spoke to the believers at Corinth, the church at Corinth, the church there had a lot of problems, which was bad, but good for us, because then we know how to solve them. Because he had help from God to help solve them, so now we have ways to solve them. So verse 12, even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church, or the building up of the church. Wherefore let them that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say Amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So we know in chapter 12 it talks of the local church and the gifts, the spiritual gifts to do with the local church, and he's expanding that a little bit with specifically the gift of tongues, but it's all in the context of the local church. We're not going to go into tongues and that kind of aspect of its being a spiritual gift, but we have this verse 15 in the middle of it. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Sing with the Spirit. Sing with the understanding. Remember those phrases, please. Okay, sing with the Spirit. What does that mean? And with the understanding. So that's verse number one. Verse number two, James 5. And we read that this morning, James 5. Or I quoted it, or something, James 5. And for sake of context again, so James, he is talking as a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, he doesn't say, and the brother of Jesus. He's seems like a humble guy. I think I'd throw that into my biography at the beginning of my letter, but he was the brother of the Lord. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And he talks about my brethren. So he's speaking to Christians who are scattered about, but we take it, and this is one of the earlier epistles, to do with the local church, and there are some instructions about it. If we look at verse 12 to start of chapter 5, James 5, verse 12. So he's talking about all sorts of things. Be patient, don't hold grudges against each other. And then verse 12, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. So let your yes be yes, your no, no. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. We looked at that phrase this morning. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That phrase is on many a missionary letter, isn't it? Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, the heaven gave rain, the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. It just ends. Just like Acts. Acts and James are the only two New Testament books that don't end in amen. You know that? There's no finality of it. Just sort of... So we can just... like Acts, it's the ongoing Acts, so we're the church, we just continue. And similar here as well. Things aren't done. The Lord's still adding to his church and working through his church. So specifically verse 13. Let him sing songs. Okay, so if you're afflicted, pray. And if you're merry, sing songs. If you're sad, pray. If you're happy, sing. Sing psalms. And a psalm is a praise chorus. It's really a praise song. I think a lesson here is that whether in bad times or good times, our first thought should be the Lord. What is the Lord saying? Or I'm sad. Things are not going well, so I should pray. I can sing too. It's good. Or things are going well. I'm gonna praise the Lord. This didn't happen by accident. This is His doing. So I'm going to sing. So sing psalms. Okay, so the first verse we looked at, 1 Corinthians 14, sing with the Spirit, sing with understanding. And then this phrase is sing psalms or sing praises. Sing songs. Just sing. Okay, and then two more. Ephesians 5. And some of you Bible students or would know these two, probably. Wondering, finish up these. Ephesians 5. And the other one's in Colossians, if you want a spoiler alert. And they're very similar, the phrase. Ephesians 5, for sake of context, again, Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus, some great teaching here on the family and warfare and witness and the universal church. And verse 15, please, of Ephesians 5. He says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Get that right. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And we'll stop there, not because I don't want to talk about wives and husbands submitting and loving each other and so on. That's just another whole track. Okay. So that's where, if we were running out of time, I'd say we've run out of time. We won't deal with that. But it does say submitting ourselves one to another there in the context. So, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Arguably three types of music offerings to the Lord. We already found that in James. So sing with the Spirit, sing with the understanding, and sing psalms. And now there are a couple more added. This hymn thing and spiritual song. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So let's look at the companion one in Colossians 3. So this is the last one. This is the companion verse of Ephesians 5. Same author, Paul, talking to the church of Colossae. A real book that's rich in Christology and study of Christ and who he is. Verse 12 of Colossians 3, to begin. "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, from bearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." That's much easier to read than to practice, isn't it? "And above all these things, put on charity," or love in action, "which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." I can still hear my dad's words. saying that phrase, "Be ye thankful." Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, ding ding, from Ephesians, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And there again, we just stop before the next section about relationships in the family, wives, husbands, children. So, verse 16, teaching and admonishing, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's interesting, both in Ephesians and Colossians, it says singing or making melody in your heart. That's where it starts, in our hearts. Not our flesh, not our vocal cords, not our ability to play, but it starts in our hearts. So sing with the spirit, sing with the understanding, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and make melody in your heart to the Lord. So two instances of that phrase, of the three, and two verses to support it in those four verses. Kind of with me so far? Those four? So let's look at what a psalm is and what a hymn is and what a spiritual song is in the time remaining. First of all, we read, "Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Is anyone happy? Sing praise to the Lord. A psalm is a praise song. The definition is praise song with a musical instrument, whether that's vocal cords or something else. A praise song with a musical instrument. We had our sister playing guitar here very nicely there, along with these hymns. But I think I heard you earlier today too, just singing some nice praise songs, and that's terrific. It is from the heart, and it's praise for what God has done. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be deep. It's a praise song to the Lord. We're saying thank you for what you've done. So you may have heard this story before. But an aging believer found himself in the city over a Lord's Day, and so he visited a local church that sang praise courses, psalms, put to music. And when he came back, his wife asked him how his time was, and he said, "Well, they had these things called praise courses at this church in the city." She said, "What's a praise course?" And he said, "Well, if I was to say to you, Martha, the cows are in the corn, that would be a hymn. But if I was to say to you, Martha, oh Martha, sweet Martha, the cows, the brown cows, the black cows are in the corn, the sweet corn, the yellow corn, the cows are in the corn. Martha, the cows are in the corn." And repeat that whole thing a few times, that would be a praise chorus. And it's true, isn't it? A lot of them repeat over and over. You know, 7-11, they tell it sometimes, 7 words 11 times. And sometimes you think, okay, maybe it's ending. No, it's not. But to put it in its, you know, in its rightful, hopefully the motive behind it, it's we want to keep praising. People want to keep praising. And that's why they say the same things over. It's not meant to be hugely deep and Isaac Wattsian, you know, or that kind of thing, but it's just expressing the heartfelt love for the Lord. And so when we think of the emphasis of most praise choruses or psalms, it's a lot of times it is the Lord Jesus is the person of the Trinity that is being emphasized, if you notice, right? A lot of them are about Jesus and who he is and what he means to us, and rightly so. We should be singing about him. And I would say the emphasis, too, relationally, is that that God, in the person of Jesus, is beside us. He is with us. And what a great thing that is. It's a very relational, very warm kind of relationship that we're expressing through a praise chorus. And I would suggest that the music, and maybe this is anecdotally, but the music is perhaps even more important than the words in a praise chorus. Right? How the music affects us. So the emphasis is the Son, the Lord Jesus, and the fact that He's beside us, and the music is what lifts us up in praise to the Lord. We perhaps have an example of this in Scripture through Miriam and Moses in Exodus 15, when she danced before the Lord. And we looked at this morning, Exodus 15, 20 and 21. Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel or a tambourine in her hand. All the women went out with her, with timbrels and with dances, and Miriam answered them, singing to the Lord, for He had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. Not just fell, right? Not just fell in the sea. He'd thrown him into the sea. So, singing to the Lord, so that phrase, it's not huge, but it says what He has done, and she's expressing it. So, it's perhaps a scriptural example of a psalm or a praise chorus. And maybe a contemporary example, contemporary as in the last century, is Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. Hallelujah means, do the younger kids know what Hallelujah means? I don't know if you're putting your hand up or not there. Hallelujah. Not many younger kids, so that means you have an opportunity. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. So that phrase, or that song that we sing, is just saying the same thing. Hallelujah, 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 praise the Lord. Can we just sing that really, really quickly? Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Men only?
Praise ye
women.
The Lord.
Men.
Praise ye the
women.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Men.
Praise ye the Lord.
Women. Everybody.
Praise ye the Lord.
Nice. That's a praise chorus, right? And all it says is praise the Lord. But that's okay. The music, it makes us, it focuses us, like you're saying, unity of the assembly. And that's great. Would you please turn and talk, it can be the same person, it can be someone else, and talk about a favorite praise chorus of yours, if you have one, and why. Why it's a favorite. You can't just take the one I just gave you. Just share about a praise chorus that you like. Thanks.
All of us?
No, you can't just say all of them.
I'm gonna write that down when it opens. Oh no. Three different ways.
Grass like separate different
ones. Never open you up. Okay.
Like 10,000 reasons.
At verse 2, it's a different song. Because we'd start on that, and then we'd always sing the other one.
He is Lord.
He is Lord, right?
Oh, he is Lord.
He is Lord. That's right.
Okay, well, maybe we'll stop there. I heard He is Lord. Someone else want to share? Just call him out if you. I might not know them. Wait, I might. I don't know. Anyone have any favorites they want to share? He is Lord. Pardon? Yeah, I won't make you sing them.
He is good.
He is good. Yes, very, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Blessed be the name.
10,000 reasons.
10,000 reasons. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Jesus' name above all names. There is a Redeemer. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Perhaps these are. Okay, good. Well, okay, so psalms or praise courses, that's the first of the three. The next one is hymns. So let's look at what a hymn is. It says in those phrases to sing psalms, and it says sing with the understanding, and it says that we're supposed to sing hymns as well. A hymn, literally, definition is a worship song about heroes' victories, and it's been used in other cultures too, not just Christianity. Sing a hymn about, you know, lauding someone for all that they have done, that the victories that they have done in battle and that kind of thing. And so, to bring maybe an opposite of the illustration I gave you with the country guy going to the city. So now we have a young believer. It doesn't have to be young. He found himself in the country over a Lord's Day, and he visited a local church that sang hymns, primarily hymns. And upon his return, his wife asked him what a hymn was. And he said, well, let's say I was to tell you about cows being in the corn. If I was to tell you simply, that would be a praise course or a song. Right? Cows are in the corn. Might repeat it a few times, but... But if I was to say to you, Martha, dear Martha, hear thou my cry. Incline thine ear to the words of my mouth. Turn thou thy whole wondrous ear by and by to this righteous, glorious truth. For the way of the beasts, who can explain? There in their heads is no shadow of sense. Hearken they in sun or rain, lest from the mild, tempting corn they are fenced. Yea, those cows in glad, bovine, rebellious delight have broken free their shackles, their warm pens exude. Then goaded by minions of darkness and night, they all my mild Chilliwack sweet corn chewed. So look to that bright shining day by and by, where all foul corruptions of earth are reborn, where no vicious creature makes my soul cry, and I no longer see this foul cattle in the corn. Then, if I were only to sing verses 1, 3, and 4 and change keys on the last verse, that would be a hymn. So it's scary how true that is in a lot of circles. That's a hymn. Scriptural, right? And perhaps whereas with a praise chorus, the emphasis is usually the Son, the Lord Jesus, a lot of times it's the Father, it's God, maybe in the Trinity, but definitely the Father involved. And not so much relational as in the Lord Jesus being beside us, but God being beyond us or above us, right? He's out there. He's not just beside us as a friend and as a redeemer, someone to minister to us and thank you, but he's so beyond us, and it's a picture of awe and worship with a hymn. So both aspects are so important, aren't they? Grace and truth, perhaps. David perhaps has a hymn in Psalm 104. Oh, and I think the emphasis would be more the words with the hymn. You probably agree with me there that hymns, you know, many verses in some of them, and they're deep. Many of them. I was looking for the one in here. God works. No, I can't remember it. Mysterious way. God works in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the sea, and something in the storm. Anyway, those are very deep words, if I remember what they are. And words are very important in hymns. Just like music is very important in psalms. But David in Psalm 104 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain. O Lord, how manifold are thy works." He talks about in wisdom, in earth full of riches. My meditation shall be sweet. Let sinners be consumed out of the earth. There seem to be specific things and enriching pictures in that psalm as an example. And that's what we see often in hymns. So singing with the understanding. Singing singing psalms and sing with the understanding, the music and the words, the Lord with us and the Lord above us. A mighty fortress is our God is a good example. I did dog ear the page, so I was prepared for this one. Mighty fortress is our God. This is Martin Luther. A bulwark or something really strong and big. Never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Wow. Okay, a lot there. You can digest that. And it takes the brain being involved in singing that if we're to do it properly. So maybe now we can think, you know, the Psalms influence us to praise God, a praise chorus, and hymns inform us. They give us words as an outlet to express with understanding. So please turn and talk about a hymn that you know, if you know one. Based on that definition, if that helps. Is there a hymn that's a favorite and why? A couple minutes. Doesn't have to be just in a hymn book, no.
What if I have a favorite? I don't know why.
Look at that. Okay. Well, I like it. Is that a compliment? Did you have your job?
No, but I'm winning it anyway, so.
What was your favorite
that you said? Oh, yeah. That may be sadly true some of the time.
I just nailed up on it. You're not going to have to be teaching. Wait, do you have one more time to speak? Should I do it?
So, some of you, it seems like you're just warming up, just getting started. So, sorry to put a kibosh on it, but we'll just move on. I like overhearing some of the conversations as to favorites and people going, oh, what is that one that goes, you know, it's kind of neat. So psalms and hymns. Hopefully we see the difference there and how it doesn't have to be, like you said, you know, is it heresy to think of one outside of the red hymn book? It doesn't have to be in a hymn book either. There are lots of hymns that are being written today, even. I would classify them as hymns. There seems to be a resurgence with that. And same with some of the ones in there, too. I would say are praise choruses, too. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Not the contemporary ones, but, you know, that's really a praise chorus. So don't let the bound or the screen or online or whatever fool you. They're both there and available. So this third one, this is where my daughter just reminded me that I don't have much time left. And we could stop here because the next one is a spiritual song, which is, you know, it's a little harder to define, I think, than a psalm or a hymn. But when I look at the dictionary, it says a song sung in the spirit, which doesn't help me a lot. I don't know about you. Song sung in the spirit, what exactly does that mean? But I think that's the whole idea, is it's hard to peg down what a spiritual song is. And that's like the Holy Spirit, really, too, right? He's a person. Sometimes we forget and we call him inanimate somehow, like the wind, but he's a person. But he's, you know, he's, for me anyway, it's harder to visualize. I can sort of see the Father, definitely the Lord Jesus, but the Holy Spirit's hard to kind of visualize, but he's nevertheless an equal part of the Trinity. And so here's a little illustration to go with the hymn and the praise chorus one. So a believer found himself in the suburbs over Lord's Day, and he visited a local church that had spiritual songs. upon his return, his wife asked him what a spiritual song was. He said, "Let's say I was to tell you about our cows being in the corn. Even if I said it with a loud, scratchy voice, over and over, or said it in a bunch of different ways, with the incorrect melody and rhythm, or even if you didn't like the way I said it, or I didn't say it the way it should be said, if I said it with the best of intentions, if I said it with the best of intentions, recognizing that the strength to say it was not my own, that would be a spiritual song." So, not necessarily the music, not necessarily the words, but sometimes there's just something about a song that you just know it's a spiritual song. It just raises us up and changes us. Maybe we can't even say what it is. Is it the words? Is it the music? Those times, I believe, is what the Lord wants. And sometimes it can be at a Lord's Supper or a other kind of meeting. So-and-so gives out a hymn or a song, and the eyes roll, and you go, "Oh, not that one," or, "Oh, it was pitched too high," or, "We are doing this way too slow," or whatever, or, "This one we do every Sunday," or whatever it is. But if we can somehow look past that and take that and sing it in the Spirit, then I believe that's a spiritual song. It could be a hymn, it could be a praise chorus, it can be anything that directs us to the Lord. So words, not music are the emphasis, but the whole Spirit. Capital S and small s of the song. Perhaps a scriptural example is Jehoshaphat. I like saying that. In his military choir in 2 Chronicles 20. I don't know if you know this story. Petra sings about it. But 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20, just to cut to the chase, the Lord works in unconventional ways. Like we were talking about Gideon, right? Who defeated with his 300 men these Midianites. I think there were 30,000 just with crack pots and lamps and trumpets. And so this time it wasn't swords and spears, but it was music that helped. So verse 20, "They rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper.' And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers," not warriors, "singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever.'" How'd you like to be one of those people picked? Okay, would you and you and you, you go to the front of the army. We're going to go and we're going to defeat the enemy. And you guys I just want you to sing, okay? Just sing. And that's your task, okay? I know they've got the latest in work. But no, that's what you're supposed to do. They're before the army and say, praise the Lord. But when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. So the Lord can use whatever he wants. And he used music that day to gain the victory through this military choir. So perhaps that's a little glimpse into what singing in the Spirit's all about. It doesn't make sense necessarily. It doesn't, it maybe doesn't resonate, you know. We can come out from a worship meeting or maybe listening to something on the radio or seeing a performance of something, and we're going, wow, that just really resonated. And someone might go, what do you mean? And sometimes it's hard to explain. So I guess the lesson might be, if someone gives out a song in the flesh or sings a song in the flesh, then we need to sing it in the Spirit. And try to get past who it is, what it is, how it's sung. One last time, if you could turn and talk. Is there a time when there is a song that ministered to you in a special way, whether it's hymn or a song without words? Or maybe you just want to talk or just think about it yourself. So your choice. You want to talk to someone about it or just think about it for 2 minutes. When is something specific time when a song ministered to you? We sort of started this way. Go ahead, a minute or two. Okay, we're almost done here. Thanks for your involvement. Those who wanted to do it and those who didn't, thank you for being involved there. So again, sing with the Spirit, sing with the understanding, sing psalms. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. David Robbins Sr., I don't know if you know him, he's down from our way, St. Catharines. He tells the story of a believer who attended a local church for the first time. And as the meeting progressed, this man was overcome with a sense of God's power in the meeting. He grabbed his hat from the seat beside him, waved it in the air, and said, "Hooray for Jesus!" And one of the elders went to him and asked him, what are you doing? And the man said, I've got the joy of the Lord. The elder answered, well, you didn't get it here. So, you know, sometimes we can be too much one way or the other, either too staid or maybe too free expression. But to allow for those things within our group, I think, is what the Lord does want. Music as well. Different parameters, different purposes, different styles of gathering. But maybe our heart question should be, am I using the music before me as a tool to express to the heart of God my worship of Him? And if I had guts, I would play for you at this point a Petra song from classic Petra. It's called Let Everything That Hath Breath Praise the Lord. Let every creature under God's sun praise the Lord. Let all the mountains, the valleys, let all the hillsides sing of His glory. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Israel had a war to fight. That's what we talked about. Josh said, but the Lord showed them the secret. He said, this battle this day is mine, but you must listen how to do it. Put your singers first in front of the rest. Let them praise and sing to me, and you will see the salvation of your God and watch your enemies flee. Paul and Silas were thrown in jail for preaching the gospel of Christ. Though in chains, they praised His name, singing songs in the night. Just then an earthquake shook the place, and the chains and the doors were loosened. Then the jailer ran in scared to death, and that day he found salvation. Oh, it's going through my head. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let every creature under God's sun praise the Lord. Let all the mountains, let all the valleys, let all the hillsides sing of His glory. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the fact that we can address the Trinity. We can address Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Many songs through the ages have have attempted to do that with godly men and women of God, as such as Fanny Crosby, that we sung one of hers today, and other people, Keith Green and others. They've sought to put pen to paper, as it were, to express through words what they think of God. And others, too, perhaps, have just been overcome with just a few words and have sung praises and sung them over and over again, letting the music lift them. Lord, we pray that we would take whatever song and sing it in the Spirit and make it a spiritual song before our Lord. We're thankful for the Son who is with us and the Father who's above us, and the Holy Spirit who's within us, and we know all three are involved. We're so thankful that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and we can sing, and we can play, and we can enjoy music in a way that the world cannot. So in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Good. Now I wonder if someone would just lead in a song, and if we don't like it, then we'll just sing it anyway. So, if there's someone that has a song or wants to sing one, I can start it if I know it. And we'll just close like that. I know. Someone have one they want to sing.
Just to share that we went to visit Melinda.